Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, here we are with no stage left, as we call ourselves now, but with an awful lot to watch and look forward to. Go figure. As always, I will start with theater news, or what qualifies as news, which is changing almost by the hour. Then quick reviews of what I watched, or more accurately, streamed this past week. And finally, I'll alert you to what is on the near horizon for your viewing pleasure. Now, as for news, it is the ongoing announcements of 2020. Yes, you heard right, 2020's fall season. You can go to the sites for the Vineyard Theater, the Keen Company, the Baryshnikov Center for details. All announce that they are preparing for virtual or even audio offerings over the next few months. The Keen Company's is called Here, H-E-A-R, and Now, and even the Public Theater is offering some non-traditional material. Still, most companies are looking to 2021, including City Center's Encore series, which just announced its first two for next year, The Tap Dance Kid and The Life, both focused, not surprisingly, on people of color. Also, more theater continues to move to the screens. The Prom is now a movie with Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman and will be on Netflix in December. And What the Constitution Means to Me, Heidi Schreck's one-woman piece, will soon be available on Amazon Prime, I assume before the election, to remind people of things to ponder before going to the polls. As for what I viewed, well, there was my second show from the Old Vic in London. These are being performed, as you know, live to an empty house for a small fee in a desperate attempt to save that theater, which gets no public funding. And for only a limited time. So all I can do is tell you that I wish you'd seen Faith Healer this week. Maybe you did. Written by Brian Friel. The play has been done twice on Broadway. The first production closed quickly. The second with Ralph Fiennes in the title role lasted longer. I think I saw that one, if I recall. The Old Vics starred a bearded, straggly Michael Sheen, who was fantastic. The play is a series of three and a half monologues telling the same story from different viewpoints. Gorgeous writing here about a narcissistic and self-loathing character who is either a true savior or a con man, one of illusion or delusion, and the woman who was either his wife or his mistress who either loved or hated him. Well, both, it turns out. I suggest you keep an eye on what's coming next to the Old Vic, though I do try to inform you here and then hop quickly in line. I also watched yet another Theater of War production, scenes from two Sophocles plays, followed, as always, by a conversation with healthcare providers, this case from Lenox Hills Hospital, with lines like, "Your pain is painful to observe, and my body is demolished by an unexpected disaster." Well, small wonder why the heroic doctors and nurses find resonance. The other main play that I watched, and that I believe, unlike those two, is still available on YouTube, was Bullrusher, B-U-L-R-U-S-H-E-R. I had never heard of this one, but it turns out it was a Pulitzer finalist a few years back. It's long, over 2 hours, but with a stellar cast, including Andre Holland, Corey Stoll, and Cara Young. She's a blazing hot off-Broadway actress. And it grabs you and pretty much won't let you go. The story takes place in a small town in Northern California in 1955, where there are only two people of color, including the title character, an orphan and clairvoyant girl of 19, well, until a mysterious young woman shows up and changes many lives. I also learned that Bullrusher was co-produced in Los Angeles a few years back by the Lower Depth and Skylight Theater Companies. Those are two different companies. It's an evocative, highly theatrical, and poetic piece, recalls Greg Daniel, one of the LA producers. I agree. I also streamed a classic stage company conversation. These run every Thursday, hosted by artistic director John Doyle, and remain available. This one was with Ben Brantley, the outgoing critic of the New York Times. He talks about power versus responsibility and ends on a relatively hopeful note. There are so many original voices now in the theater world, he says. Well, hopeful about the talent, if not where and when all that talent will next be up on stages. So let's look to what's coming up. This Wednesday at 5, the Signature Theater, alongside something called Black Girls Do Theater, and continue their Inside the Writers Zoom series. Always an interesting and inside look at the challenges of doing this kind of work in these times. Later that night, the Great Barrington Stage Company presents 3 viewings at 7:30 p.m. Sounds like a combo platter of entertainment, including the delightful actress Deborah Jo Rupp. And that will remain up for several days. Sunday afternoon is the latest Stars on Stage benefit reading for the Actors Fund, and this time it is Caesar and Cleopatra. If you never saw the Tony Award-winning drama The Humans, written by Stephen Karam, go to theatermania.com, where a production is being streamed through that site. Classic Stage Company's next 6 o'clock Thursday conversation will be with the fine award-winning actress Tanya Pinkins. And if you are into puppets, hey, some of my best friends are, you have a few choices. You can go to YouTube to stream the No Puppet Company's 6 episodes of Crush, or you can Zoom something called Zero Cost House via the Pig Iron Company's site. That company is based in Philadelphia, but these days, well, a bit of a silver lining, it matters not, since we can all watch from anywhere. Zero Cost House, by the way, also has Humans alongside its furry rabbits. And 2 offerings out of Los Angeles are worth watching. One from the Center Theater Group's archives is a soldier's play, at least key scenes from a production there. They feel totally of the moment, even though it was from 1982, and it features a young actor named Denzel Washington. And from the aforementioned Skylight Theater, find your way there Thursday at 6 o'clock East Time for Wake Up Call, an original one act from Wendy Kaut and Jeff Reno, who met years ago as very young writers on Mork and Mindy. This pandemic-themed piece also stars 2 actors you will recognize and my guests love as much as I do, Nancy Travis and Charles Shaughnessy. So overall, there continues to be plenty to stream, and the pair of $60,000 questions remain. When will live theater return? In London's West End, they are slowly starting up, including 6, which was scheduled to be on Broadway about now. And the bigger question, of course, is when will theater goers feel comfortable enough to buy tickets and settle into seats? Dr. Fauci this past week said it will be quite a while before he can imagine an unmasked audience. Well, I hit my first museum this week, but as we know, Jill, there's a big difference between sitting in a crowded theater and roaming with a limited number of people to gaze at paintings.
Well, at least you got into a museum.
Actually, when I think about it, I went to a few museums because I went to a few out in East Hampton as well.
And what was the activity like?
Well, the ones in East Hampton were very easy. Going to the Met is not uncomplicated. It helps to be a member, but even then, you wait in line outside. You go through all, you have your temperature taken, all that kind of stuff, of course. And then you have to go to the members line. But once you're inside, only 2 people on an elevator at one time, which isn't easy when you're going to the roof, which I did. But once you're inside, you're kind of walking around in a pretty empty museum. And, when's the last time you were in the Met when it wasn't crowded? So that was kind of pleasant. And I went to an outdoor exhibit at the Historical Society. Yeah, things are opening up. What does it feel like? Like everything else, it feels weird.
And are you noticing with the opening up that that is weird that it's opening up? Or I'm trying to get a sense because there is, and I think it's got a lot to do with sports and just having just some regular activity. There's definitely a sense of forward progress, except in certain places, and I'm just staggered at the. A colleague went down to the. City, and I was just terrified, and two his shock, it wasn't as hideous as he had been led to believe. And there was stuff to do, and everyone was more or less masked up, and you could get food. And, you know, it was holidays at the weekend, Jewish holidays, as everyone knows. And I know that
So it's feeling back to life. It's noisy again. By the way, the line outside I walked by the Natural History Museum on the west side. That line was around the block. And I heard them telling people, if you don't have reserved seats, you can leave because we can't take any more people. So, you know, clearly people, especially people with children, you know, are so anxious for things to do. No, the city's opening up. Apparently inside restaurants become available in a week or so if you want it. You know, the thing that hasn't opened up is theater.
Right.
We have to be honest. It hasn't. Out in your area it has, because you can do things outside or... that just isn't happening here, outside of, you know, the kind of stuff I talk about, streaming and all that. No, that's asking a lot of people. Do they want to go sit in a theater? Yeah, they could do it like they're doing the football games where one every six seats is taken.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, and I'm not talking about actual audience. I'm just talking about the sense of you're returning to... football, for example, is something that you expect in the fall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? So that's just as you expect. Just as you expect, new shows to open, but I'm also noticing, and I was curious about. I saw something in the Times the other day, and you might have alluded to it vaguely, but it was from Tuesday's paper, and the headline at least was London Theatre Announces a Return, even as cases rise. So,
yes, they are. Yeah, the West End, like I said, six is up. But, you know, the audience is wearing masks. They're sitting somewhat apart from each other. I mean, clearly the Old Vic isn't having audience. Most of them are not, let's face it.
Do you think that people would go masked to anything here, or is it just not?
I guess they would. Certainly in the museums, everybody's wearing a mask because we're inside.
Right, but what I mean is it's also a big space. Do you think that anyone would go to the theater masked?
Yes. if it happens, if they open up in the next 6 months, I can't imagine. I think they'll insist on it, and they'll take your temperature walking in. I don't see it. Fauci said that. He can't foresee a time of unmasked theater goers. I know, it's, you know, God, we've gotten so used to it, but it's still... When I say weird, I mean, it's just weird to be walking around a city where everybody's wearing a mask, inside or out. I don't know. It's sad. You know, somebody said it feels like Russia after the war. I mean, it looks kind of dreary up here. There's a dreariness to it. But hey, you know, well, we have to be optimistic. New York's done a great job, I have to say, you know, so far. You know, get your flu shot, and let's see how the real fall goes.
All right. And in the meantime, but right now there's no evidence. There's absolutely no indication of any theater, even off Broadway sort of thing opening.
Nope. I've not heard one thing, not one, that where you can go inside a theater. The next thing is in October, you know, the Tony Awards streamed, and they did a pretty interesting job last time with the Emmys, and I will see if that'll be a template for the other award shows, you know, where they have to send to every nominee's house, you know, they're entitled to set up their own system so that if they win an award, somebody hands them a Tony right away, or last night an Emmy right away. And by the way, not all the actors seem to choose to do it, I noticed. They probably can't figure out how to set up that kind of technology. But why is Michael Douglas expected and Alan Arkin expected to know how to do that, you know? So anyway, but that'll be the next question mark is, do they really pull off the Tonys in October? And then we'll take it from there.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.